Hello and welcome to the Football Diary podcast and this special episode where I get to talk about all things Aston Villa. Now, normally I have to sit and talk to two cynical and bitter Man United fans and that didn't really feel fitting for this. So I've got a special guest with me today. I'm joined by Luke from the Up the Villa podcast. Thanks for joining us, Luke. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Great to be on. Great time to be a Villa fan. So, yeah, just want to talk about them all the time, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't always get the chance to, so I appreciate you joining me today. You are right. It feels like the best time to have these conversations. And we're, I think, at a decent enough stage through the season now where we can take stock of where we are, what we've kind of achieved so far, and what our expectations are. So just sum up for me. What do you think of our start to the season, really? Is this what you expected under Unai Emery, or are we kind of surpassing that now?
Yeah, I think it's been a great start to the season, really. You know, before we kicked a ball, I wanted Villa to be in and around sixth place and qualify for Europe through the Premier League. I think that's been my biggest aim this season for Villa. And then whatever happens in cup competitions, then fair enough. But, yeah, you know, it's all about, with Emery now at Villa and with Villa fans knowing that we've sort of got, you know, an elite manager, it's about building for the future. And I think so many clubs like Villa who have been out of the Premier League and have been mid-table and scrambling around all the time trying to just survive, or maybe you have a good season, to actually get somebody who you can really see a long-term vision with, I think that's showing all the fans, you know, everything you want to see, basically. Basically. So I think with that in mind and seeing how well we've started, and, you know, we're by far from the finished article under Unai Emery, you know, I think we're just going to get better and better season on season. To be challenging, you know, fifth place at the minute, and, you know, the weekend just gone, we could have gone into the top four. I think, you know, it has to be a good start to the season because, you know, we're not deluded. We're not deluded by saying we're going to win the Premier League or we're going to finish in the top three. You know, I think Villa fans know where we are, and it's about just riding this wave and trying to challenge to get into the top four. I think as long as we're doing that, I think, you know, everybody's going to be happy, really. The manager, the owners, the fans. So, yeah, it's been a great start.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? When you consider that when the ownership came in, they had this really ambitious goal of getting European football within, I think, the first 3 years. And it felt like we were miles away from that at certain times. I mean, even just over 12 months ago when we were looking at, just before Unai Emery came in, I don't think any of us envisaged that even with an elite manager like this, the turnaround would be so fast. And actually the way he's cemented Villa Park as this kind of fortress now, and I think we've got the best home record of any team in Europe so far this season. That step feels massive, but it doesn't feel like a new manager bounce anymore. We're talking into a year in now of this spell. And actually, I wonder if that means that even the club have had to realign their goals. And the backing that we got over the summer maybe suggests that. The weekend is frustrating, though, isn't it? Because you look at the other results around us, and it felt like a massive opportunity for Villa to capitalise. We would have gone third with a win. And actually, when you see Liverpool drop points, Arsenal drop points, Spurs drop points, it's important that these games that teams like Forest, without any disrespect to them, they've got to be 3 points in the bag. Does it worry you at all that our away form isn't quite matching the home form right now?
I wouldn't say it worries me. I would say it's a small problem that we need to overcome. I think the problem is with it is that the home form's so good. You know, it's not like the home form's good. And we win a couple, we draw, we win a couple. We're winning every game at home. Now, if you're winning every game at home, whatever you do away from home, it's going to be a problem. So, and like I said about the expectation, like, you know, I'm really positive about Villa and I hope we can win every game that we play. I back us to win every game we play under Unai. But we're not going to. And I think, you know, these little blips away from home, they probably are going to be there. I do have a small issue with some of the goals that we're conceding away from home. They all look quite similar to me. It's sort of like they're all out wide. They're getting to the byline. You know, I'm talking about Mateta, Neto's goal. Talking about the one at the weekend. So I just think we've really got to find the balance, because We are a team that want to have possession. We're a team that want to be on the front foot. We want to have control. We want to control every game we play. Mm. And I think away from home, maybe we're not going to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And I think a small sort of change in approach might best suit us. But, you know, we've got a manager that, you know, actively wants to get in the Champions League and he's got big ambitions. So, you know, that's just the way he is. But, you know, we're always going to lose games because we're finished article, are we? You know, we're not Man City. So,
yeah.
I think away from home, yeah, there's going to be losses, but I think we've just got to sort of try and get a little bit of consistency. I think that's probably the word that we need to look out for with the away form.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make, actually, about the kind of goals we're conceding. This is something we talked about this week, that actually that style of the defensive setup has changed so much this season compared to even last season when Emery was there. If you think that we were always aiming to have Moreno as our attacking fullback and our other fullback tuck in and always stay quite deep, it tended to be Ashley Young quite a lot last season. Whereas this season, we've kind of brought Luca Dean and Cash and given them both free license to roam forward and let Kamara tuck into that spot instead. So I wonder if that does leave an air of vulnerability in those wide areas, and that's probably where we're seeing it come in. But generally speaking, okay, we had a disappointing result away from home in Europe and then we went and absolutely hammered AZ Alkmaar. So there's still plenty to be positive about. And you are right. Not only is it not the finished article, but some of the most elite players in that squad are still settling in and finding their feet in England. It was a successful summer. Moussa Diaby, obviously, is the headline. Pau Torres is someone that we know that Unai Emery's worked with before and was heavily linked with for a while. Zaniolo and Longley on loan and Tielemans on a free. Who have you been most impressed with out of the new recruits this year?
Probably Pau Torres. He was the one that I think we needed to be impressed by for the way that we play. We saw when Unai came in that we struggled to play it from the back for about 5 games, and you know, there was a learning curve. I'd be at the grounds and it'd be like, oh god, just hoof it, get rid of it. And you can see the difference by having an actual ball playing centre half that's progressive. You know, he's one of our best players and probably one of our most important players, and you know, he's integral to the way that we play. I would probably say we've got one of the best central defenders in the Premier League for the way that he plays. And he's just that good. So I would say him. And, you know, when you look at signings that come in and, you know, you see their best attributes in like La Liga and you're thinking, can he bring it to the Premier League? And I think he has. Like, he's absolutely amazing, to be fair. I mean, some fans will criticise, you know, he's defending at times, but that, you know, that's just filler fans. I mean, we're having a load of it with Zaniolo at the minute, and before that it was Tielemans, and before that it was McGinn or Watkins or Lewis. Or
there's always got to be a scapegoat.
Yeah, and I think it takes time. You know, it's not like FIFA where you just sign a player and they play and they're absolutely amazing. Like, there's different things that you have to factor in. Like, even Pau Torres, like, he's only ever played for Villarreal. He's been out on loan. So all he ever knows is the culture of Villarreal. He's never moved countries. He's never had to adjust. And, you know, you take into account those factors and it might be a bit difficult for him to adjust. And he spoke about, like, the physicality of the league's different. The refs are different. They allow more contact. So I mean, there's adjustment periods, but I'd say Pau Torres, you know, he's class. I mean, Diaby, I think every Villa fan would get, you know, every Villa fan or football fan gets excited by, like, goal scorers or wingers or, but
he's one that gets your seat as well.
Yeah, but when you actually look at how our team functions, I think Pau is the one that's sort of got it going.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what I've been most impressed with as well? This is a player who isn't necessarily gifted with the most pace, and we play such a high line that could lead to a lot of issues. But actually, the partnership he's developed with Konsa so quickly, because the other caveat to his form was, think about how he was thrown into that team. It would have been much easier to bed him in over a period of time. And then game one, he's thrown in because Mings picks up that horrible injury. And I think he's covered that phenomenally. The other thing that I love about him is we all kind of read and saw clips on YouTube of his amazing passing range, but I didn't realize quite how progressive he was with the ball at his feet, just dribbling as well. Yeah. He's not afraid, is he, to take the ball even into the final third and pick a pass there? It's not like Mings, who I think was our ball playing centre back to a certain degree, but it was always long diagonals over to the right hand side. So it's nice to see what he's got in his locker. And you mentioned Zaniola there. I kind of wanted to ask you about that because that's a player that I've been enamoured by for years. So the other team that I always follow is Roma. I got to watch him over in Italy, and when we were linked with him, I couldn't believe our luck. And I do think still there is a player there that will really come through. Villa fans haven't necessarily been the most patient with him so far, but have you seen anything that at least gives you a glimmer of hope that there is a player there?
Yeah, I mean, I when I watch football players, especially that play for Villa, you know, I always like to see the best parts of their game, their best attributes. I never write a player off. I'd never give a player like stick or say he's absolutely useless. And, you know, like we've said about Pau, adjustment period, he has to settle in. You know, he was getting stick at the start. Tielemans, for that Zrinski game at home, got absolute pelters. But then what happens? He puts in a great performance against Altmar away and everybody forgets about it. So, you know, he's not in his favoured position out on that left-hand side. That's not where he's played. So I'd say he gets in good areas, and I think if a player keeps getting in good areas, it's only a matter of time before they're going to finish. Yeah. And, you know, his off-the-ball work, he's pressing, and what he does for the team. I think he had a real big game against Brighton that sort of went under the radar. He pressed Brighton. He enabled us to get up the pitch. So I'm not writing him off, you know. And the biggest thing that we've got to remember is if Unai keeps picking him, then who are we to question Unai Emery picking Zaniolo? Like, you know, you've got to look at it like that, haven't you? If Unai signs a player, you know, they must be good.
Absolutely.
And that's the bottom line, really. I think, you know, we can't write players off after 11 games. That's just ridiculous. So,
yeah.
I think you just got to stick with it. You know, when Ramsey comes back, like you say, when Moreno comes back, maybe he can move out to that right-hand side. Maybe he could partner off Watkins if needs be in Europe. And then I think you'll start to see the best of Zaniolo, really.
Yeah, and the thing with him is, as well, you've got to think that while he's making this move to England, there's a lot of talk about him in the press, obviously, and this issue that's gone around over in Italy. And the Brighton game came straight off the back of that international break, and he was at his best, really. And this is a player who's had two serious knee injuries and is still kind of finding consistency with his playing time. And I do think that we still see that dynamic player who's willing to just take a man on. And when Villa have historically struggled to break down a low defensive line, someone that's willing to pick the ball up and carry it through them seems excellent to me. And I think you're right. He's getting into the right positions. And once he takes one of those chances, it feels like floodgates might open. So I have a bit of faith in him. I'm hoping it will come there. But the squad as a whole, I think we all know that Steven Gerrard wasn't getting it to where it should have been. And yes, you can say that it was a prolonged period of time where Villa were underperforming, but the players in that squad, we haven't had to have a complete overhaul to get them to this position. Is there anyone in particular in the starting 11 this season or in the wider squad that you've been particularly impressed by the improvement that Emery's helped them make?
Probably say, well, I mean, you could say all of them, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, last year that they all improved, and I feel like this year, you know, this season they've improved again. Like, you know, Conce is amazing. But I would say one that I'd say Bailey. I think Bailey is slowly starting to turn into an Emery player. Again, the last European game, I thought he was really good. He's tracking back, his defensive work. So I'd say Bailey's improved. Watkins, I mean, Douglas Luiz is unreal. So, you know, he's massively improved. I'd say all of them, really. I think it would be harsh to not mention a lot of them because, you know, their games have improved.
We had a debate on here the other week over whether Douglas Luiz was in the top three midfielders in Europe right now because the form he's producing, I don't think... We all knew his ceiling was high. If Pep Guardiola fancies you in the first place and then Unai Emery can get a tune out of you, we know you're a good midfielder. Back in the Brazil squad now and certainly proved himself to be one of our most important players, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I said after one of, I think it was after, was it the West Ham game, that he's just like one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. Mm. And you get like the football hipsters of United, Arsenal, Chelsea saying he's not the best. You know, what about Rice? What about this player? What about that player? But if you actually watch what he does, he's, you know, he don't even look where he's passing half the time. Now he's doing these no-look passes and no-look penalties and... you know, he's absolutely fantastic, and you know, when he's, you know, like running the show, he's, you know, he's the best player on the pitch, and a lot of Villa's good stuff comes from the work of Douglas Luiz. So yeah, I think at this season he's one of the best players in the Premier League.
And I think you're right to highlight Bailey as well, because I think over the summer, a lot of Villa fans were anticipating that he might make a move. There was a lot of talk of him going elsewhere. And the signing of Diaby was either going to make or break him, wasn't it? Because it was competition for places, but also a player that he's really familiar with and had an excellent relationship at Leverkusen. And he seems to be really taking that role on well. He's not the man that we turn to for everything anymore. And instead, he's able to capitalise on tired legs in the Premier League or European fixtures. Another player that I think we kind of anticipated might move on and seems to have developed really well, in my opinion, is Luca Dean. There was so much talk of him moving towards the end of the window, and Moreno's injury probably put a halt to that, and then obviously couldn't get Acuna over the line. His impact, I don't think any of us really expected that. Going forward, he still looks so capable, and how deadly have some of his crosses been? All right, the Forest game's not necessarily the best example of that, but are you surprised by the impact he's been able to have in this team?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's like you say, he's done really well. He offers a massive threat every single game, doesn't he? And it's going to be interesting now to see how he does when Moreno's back, and whether there's a bit of a drop off because there's competition, or, you know, I imagine he's been quite comfortable playing for Villa this season because he knows that he's playing every game. So, you know, with Moreno coming back, it's going to be interesting to see how he does, because last season they were both playing virtually every game, weren't they? There'd be a game where Moreno would start and then 30 minutes left, then, you know, vice versa, they'd swap places. So, he's been really, really good. But I don't know whether, like, in the future that's an area that we're going to address a little bit. I've just got a funny feeling that Unai's going to do something really random with that position.
Yeah, I mean, they're both touching 30 or just over now as well. So I think if you're looking at building for the future, it's hard to have them both remain there. And I think you saw how ruthless he was with Ashley Young in the summer to move him on to kind of rejuvenate some of those positions. When Mings is back, perhaps we see Pau Torres move out of there and give Cash licence to be the attacking fullback. But who knows? The good thing is, we're talking about depth and we're talking about competition for places, and it feels so long since Villa fans have been able to do that. And that depth is going to be really integral to this European run, isn't it? Do we, realistically, bias aside, do we expect us to win the Conference League this year? Put you on the spot with it.
I don't expect to win it at all. We've already seen how difficult it can be. Like, Legia Warsaw was like a real tough game, wasn't it?
And
I'm kind of just going with the Europa Conference League. I'm just enjoying it. I'm just enjoying being in Europe. And sort of, like I said at the start, like, my priority is the Premier League, like qualifying for Europe. Because, you know, in these European ties, you know, if you get, say, Fiorentina in sort of like the quarters and you have a crap first leg, who knows how difficult the next leg might be. So, yeah, I think there's some decent teams in it, really. You know, Fiorentina are doing well. Lille are doing quite well. I'm just going with it, really. I think we just got to enjoy it. I think the players want to win some silverware this season, so I think, you know, they're all probably eyeing winning it. But I think we've already seen this season, haven't we, like, with the injuries that we've had, and, you know, we had a massive squad that looked brilliant and then it's just decimated. And I just want to see players back. That's probably one of my big things that I want to sort of look forward to going into the new year. And then hopefully maybe if like Buendia comes back March time and we're still in it, then, you know, we got loads of creativity. So I think we've just got to just enjoy it and see what happens.
Absolutely. One other thing that we were able to enjoy quite a lot last year, but has caused Villa fans a bit less enjoyment so far this season, is our WSL side, the Aston Villa Women's, who were remarkable last year. Carla Ward did such a good job to build that squad up, get them up to fifth in the WSL. Currently, this season, sit bottom of the league. And sadly, Ward under a bit of pressure, which to me feels bizarre. I think we know that she's the right person for the job. It's a difficult start to the season, but what have you made of Villa Women's start?
Slightly frustrating, I'd say. You know, I went to the Spurs game and we were so good for the first 20 minutes. Like Leon and they were just like so vibrant and Blinkhill Brown was running the game and yeah, we just had a complete mare defensively. So it's been frustrating to see because last season, like you say, we were sort of the best of the rest, weren't we? So really, we wanted to like kick on and do well. But, you know, I think the fact that only one team can go down, you know, we just need to win our Conti Cup game, get some confidence and then win the next league game and you got 3 points and a couple more points, you might be mid-table. So they've just got to just get their act together quite quickly. But yeah, it's been a bit frustrating to watch.
It is, but I do think the panic has been overstated. If you look at it, we've played 5 of the current top 6 in our first 5 games. And that is a nightmare start to any season. Our next 3 league games are 3 of the bottom 5. So all of a sudden, you could have 9 points on the board. We're missing Kenza Dali still, and her impact last season was just outstanding. And they did a lot of recruitment in the summer as well. Like you mentioned, Leon, that's a player that will settle into that squad and contribute massively throughout the season. But I feel like it's been more unfortunate and just bad timing for most of these fixtures. The officiating in the United game at the start of the season was woeful. We hit Arsenal as Beth Mead was returning, and that was a game that we nearly had 3 points there. Thomas is in mad form for Spurs and spanked us there. And then we get Chelsea when they find out Emma Hayes is leaving. So hopefully it's all timing and we'll start to see Villa Women's back up the top of the league soon.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, it's been tough games and they just need to find that consistency, don't they? And start winning some games again. Because last year it was really enjoyable to watch, wasn't it? And absolutely. I think the fact that now they're getting like, you know, I think one of the games so far this year had like 12,000, which was the most amazing that they've ever had. So, you know, the Villa following is growing. And I think, you know, what they don't want to do is have a mare and then people drop off. And, you know, they need to keep riding that crest. So I think they've just got to get back on track and get them wins as quick as they can.
Yeah, I think off the back of the World Cup as well, you always want to capitalise in this country with your domestic football. So although the Lionesses narrowly missed out, the attention that was drawn to it, the WSL was really capitalising on that. And a bit like Villa in the men's game, where you've got the league really coming to a head and you've got teams that are coming out of nowhere to really compete at the top. You're trying to compete with the likes of not just the normal top four, but Newcastle and Spurs. You want to be in that conversation and not fall out of it. Otherwise, you find yourself in mid-table obscurity for a long time. And it's the same with the women's team. The more the WSL gains traction, the bigger that gap could get between the traditional big sides. So I do hope that Carla Ward keeps her job and we can see some success in the women's team soon. But I don't think we can brag for much longer about how Villa are getting on, Luke. I really appreciate you joining me today. Do you want to tell people where they can find your normal channel?
Yeah, we're just on like typing like UTV podcast on pretty much any social and you'll probably find us on there.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on and I hope to talk to you again soon because I'm tired of talking to Man United fans, to be honest.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.